Chapter 7. I didn't know who the fuck these women were, but the last thing we needed right now was a long, drawn-out fight with a bunch of crazy rhino people on top of killer ants. So I held up my hands to let the women below know I wasn't a threat.
"My name is Ben, but my people call me Draco Rex,"
I called down.
"We mean you no harm, we just..."
"Come down from there, Draco Rex,"
the white-haired woman growled.
"Before one of my ladies here puts an arrow between your eyes."
Holy fuck, these women weren't playing around.
"Okay, look, there's no need for the empty threats now. We'll come down and..."
Before I could finish my sentence, one of the rhino women released her arrow straight at me. I let out a gasp as I ducked down just in time, and the arrow stabbed harmlessly into the bark of the tree behind my head.
"Fuckers of mothers,"
Mira hissed.
"They are going to pay for that when I get to them."
"Don't." I shook my head at the golden-scaled beauty. "We'll fight if we have to, but I don't think we need any more bloodshed. These are the first living things on this island that seem to be sentient. If we can somehow talk our way through this, then maybe they'll help us on our journey. I'm sure they know the island way better than any of us do."
"Yeah, but they don't really look like the helping type,"
Zarya growled.
"I can see it in their eyes. They want to kill all of us and feast on our bones. How can you even see their eyes from up here?"
Darya chuckled.
"We are hundreds of feet up in the air. I can just tell,"
she harrumphed.
"It's what I would do." "That was a warning shot,"
the archer from the group of rhino girls declared.
"The next one's going in your chest."
"That was her warning shot."
"We're not coming down. Anything you want to talk about, we can talk about from a distance."
The white-haired rhino woman looked over at her archer and then shrugged. The next thing I knew, the archer raised her bow once more and took aim.
"You don't have to even give me the order. Let them try and see what happens."
Down below, the gray-skinned woman let loose her arrow and sent it careening directly toward me once again. This time, however, Tyrion was ready for it. The adolescent silver dragon flapped his wings with a mighty beat as he rose up into the sky and then quickly flew out over the side of the treehouse. In a flash, he whipped his head back, took a deep breath, and then unleashed a blast of white-hot flames straight down the side of the tree. The fire hit the arrow about halfway up and completely incinerated it into ashes. Though I was too far away to hear it, I could see the rhino women panically murmuring to each other. They had no idea we had not one, but two dragons along with us, and I was hoping that little factoid would turn the tides in our favor. Surely they wouldn't be bold enough to keep threatening us, right? Unfortunately, I was dead wrong. The white-haired rhino woman, who I now suspected was the leader of the tribe, stood atop her ant steed with her hands on her hips.
"So, you have a dragon? So what? We've had plenty of dragons come round here in the past. You're not going to intimidate your way out of this. Now, I will say this only once more. Come down from our sacred cloud brush, or we will bring you down ourselves."
Of course. Out of all the trees we could have desecrated, we had to pick the one that was sacred to this island's warrior women.
"This is ridiculous,"
Zarya growled.
"We don't have to take this, Draco Rex. Tyrion could turn them into dust without a second thought."
"Don't be so sure. They might just be acting overconfident, but she's got a point. They've probably dealt with all kinds of dragons before, and Tyrion isn't anywhere near being fully grown yet. Plus, we are kind of trespassing in their sacred land, so I'd really prefer if we could get out of here without any bloodshed. We're not those kinds of explorers."
"All right,"
the white-haired rhino woman finally conceded as she turned to her friends.
"Atarwa!"
The rest of the mounted rhino women held up their weapons and responded with the hearty battle cry in a language I didn't understand. Then their ant mounts began to scuttle in the direction of the tree trunk, and when the large ants arrived at the bottom of the trunk, they dug their legs into the side and began to crawl upward with the rhino women still on their backs. "George," I asked the water dragon, "this is where you come in, bud. Flush them out before they get too much farther."
"Right away, dear one,"
the blue water dragon confirmed with a nod. George ran over to the side of the platform, inhaled deeply, and then blasted a stream of salty water straight down the side of the tree. The liquid struck the first rhino woman in the group and knocked her clean off her ant. But she was only 20 feet or so up the tree, so the attack didn't really do much damage. However, it gave us the desired result. The rhino women began to panic as they turned around and rushed back down the side of the trunk. Some of them were blasted off their ants by George's spray, but they quickly regrouped once they were safely on a horizontal surface.
"Good shot, George,"
Mira cackled.
"Those fuckers of mothers didn't know what hit them."
"That's the thing we need to keep in mind. I reminded all my crewmates. They might have us surrounded, but we have way more advantages. We have the high ground, a giant wooden shield at the bottom of our position, and two deadly accurate dragons.
Why do you keep calling them rhino women? Have you met their kind before?
It's just slang. They look an awful lot like these horned creatures back in my world. Rhinos are giant armored beasts that live in terrain similar to what we're in now.
I don't care what their names are.
Nadir grinned and rubbed her hands together.
I just want them to keep causing trouble. Is there anything we can throw down at them? Maybe some small branches or stones?
We stay on the defensive, I reminded the Kunag woman. Don't attack unless you feel like your life depends on it, as tempting as it might be. We watched as the rhino woman's leader got off her ant, stomped over to a bare spot on the plains, and then shook her fist at us.
You're clever,
she bellowed.
I'll give you that. But nobody has ever escaped the justice of the Chero, and you will be no different.
So that's what they called themselves, the Chero. I didn't have much time to mull it over, however, because the white-haired Chero woman quickly lumbered back to her warriors. We watched as they all huddled up in a circle, and I was sure they were discussing their next move. That gave us an opportunity to do the same.
Come on, Ben,
Lazan pleaded.
They're all in one spot. We could easily take them all out right now.
We need them, I told the Kunag woman. Remember, we have no idea where the fuck we're going. At least we need to get them to not actively want to kill us.
How do we do that?
Mira questioned.
I am being serious. I am not exactly known for my people skills. In fact, usually after I talk to someone, they want to kill me even more.
I couldn't help but laugh at Mira's sarcasm, but I just shook my head and tried to think of a solution.
Trying to broker peace obviously isn't working.
Nor is intimidation. They are all acting very calm for people who have just seen that their enemy has two dragons at his disposal.
Could we try to bargain? I pondered aloud. What do we have that they might want or need?
Everything's back on the Dragon Queen.
Even if we wanted to try and trade, we have no goods at the moment.
What about the Wind Dragon Egg?
Mira suggested.
We could offer to give them that. Only as a quick fix, of course. We wouldn't actually want to give them our precious egg.
That might work. If they live on this island, I'm sure they're at least familiar with wind dragons and their eggs. That could at least buy us some time. Kandara, please tell me you still have the egg.
Please don't let them actually take this?
The blonde morpho woman pleaded, and she looked at me with sad eyes.
This thing is starting to feel like it's my baby.
They won't. We just need it for leverage, that's all. Kandara's lips were pursed together in a hesitant frown, and her sad eyes told me she had her doubts about this plan. The hip upon which the satchel was rested was turned away from me, almost as if she was shielding the egg from my grasp. But after she had a few seconds to process the idea, Kandara let out a sigh and reached into the cloth bag. Then she pulled out the shiny crystal egg and held it out for me to take. Trust me, I reassured the butterfly woman.
I always do,
Kandara nodded. I turned away from my crewmate and then returned to the edge of the platform with the egg held high.
Let's try this again,
I called down to the rhino women.
We have two dragons with a third on the way. I'm willing to chill up here for as long as it takes for you guys to cool down, but I'm also just about done playing around. All I want to know is where this thing belongs and how the hell we get there.
The women all glanced up as I negotiated with them, and then they all seemed to freeze in place.
Mumbarco!
One of them cried.
Mumbarco!
Suddenly, the rhino women began to scatter. They all hopped off their mounts before they spread out around the tree. Next, they all halted in place, lowered their horned heads, and began to brush back dirt with their feet. My heart fell into my stomach when I realized what they were doing. They were going to ram the tree.
I'm not sure that worked,
Mira snorted.
I think we may have just made them madder.
Everybody brace yourselves. I guess we're about to find out how sturdy our camp is built, whether we want to or not.
I could try and fly us away. I can only take a few of you at a time, but it would be faster than trying to wait them out.
Not a bad idea, but that means we'll all be split up and down on the ground. That would play right into these women's strategy, since they could easily run us down on those giant ants. I handed the egg back to Kandara, and the morpho quickly slipped it back into its satchel.
Ben!
Honora gulped.
I know I normally deal with diagnosing and fixing up people and not trees, but as we were climbing, I noticed the bark is very dry and flaky.
What are you saying? Honora's sunflower yellow eyes were full of fear, and her bottom lip quivered as she searched for the right words to say.
I don't think there's a clucker chicken's chance in a Gargamel cage that this tree will survive the assault.
Damn. I sighed as my brain raced to find a potential solution. I guess we need a backup plan in case this whole thing comes tumbling down. Tyrion, how many of us did you say you could hold on your back again?
3,
the silver dragon explained.
4 if it's a short distance and speed isn't a factor.
That would still leave 4 of us to fend for ourselves, plus George.
Cal Tookie!
I heard the rhino woman holler out from down below. I glanced back over the side of our platform and saw our attackers charging toward our position at full speed, with their heads down so their horns were straight ahead. So I instantly leapt back away from the side and motioned for my friends to do the same.
Brace!
I commanded, and we all wrapped our arms around the nearest branch that looked like it could hold us. The horns of the rhino women slammed into the tree one after another, and the shock waves created by the impact reverberated up the giant tree and shook it to its core. Suddenly, my crew found itself quaking as if we'd been standing at the epicenter of a city-destroying earthquake. The sound of cracking wood echoed from down below, and I realized Honora's diagnosis would soon be right. We only had a few minutes before the rhino women struck again, and the tree would be damaged even further. As quickly as it had begun, the shaking suddenly subsided, but there were now visible cracks all throughout the tree's branches, and a few of the floorboards on our camp had fallen away.
Lizanne and I can scurry down the trunk and then jump off at the last minute,
Nadir offered.
It probably shouldn't surprise you that we've ridden a falling tree to the ground more times than we can count, so this time should be no different.
It obviously won't be a problem for me, either,
Kandara reminded me with a flap of her wings. That still leaves 3 of us and George, though, I noted.
Don't worry about me, dear one. Though this might be a huge fall for you, it will be little more than a slightly painful impact for me.
Then it looks like I'm going to have to ride you down, I proclaimed, as I watched the rhino women get into position once more. Everybody who's taken the Tyrion Express, hop on his back. Kunag women and Kandara, take your marks.
Are you sure that's a wise idea? The fall won't hurt me much, but it will certainly harm you.
I have my scales. I gave my naturally armored torso a good thunk to remind everyone. And that's why I'll need 2 of you dragonkin women to come along with me on George. The water dragon's massive body will absorb most of the impact, but it's going to help if everyone on his back has some armor of their own.
That's a huge risk for us to take, Ben,
Mira gasped.
We don't know if that will work.
We don't have much of a choice. I motioned to the cracks in the tree around us. It's the only solution I have right now.
Can Tyrion just carry more people?
Jonas asked, as his eyes darted around in panic.
Impossible! Maybe, just maybe, he could squeeze 5 onto his back, but he doesn't have the strength nor the room for 3 more people in addition to the 4 he's already taking. That is just simple biology.
We will go with you, Dracorex,
Zarya announced with a puffed-out chest.
My sister and I are both strong enough to survive the fall. We have taken many beatings in our day from forces much stronger than gravity. It'll be like the coconut throw exercise all over again,
Darya grinned.
Oh, don't remind me.
Zarya shuddered.
I may have been great at that one, but I still think I might have bruises from all the times I failed and was struck with a coconut.
I wanted to ask what the coconut throw exercise was, but I didn't think we had the time. Instead, I briskly walked over to George, jumped up onto his back, and then turned back to my friends. This might be the one thing that brings us down, so get ready.
What do we do when we get onto the ground?
Nima asked with large eyes. We do what we do best. I winked. We fight, but not to kill. We need to disarm and dismount these women and then show them mercy. If we do that, maybe they'll finally realize we're not their enemies.
You would have thought they'd realize this when we didn't just have George and Tyrion tear through that tribe.
Mira grumbled. That might be true. But it looks like seeing that wind dragon egg really set them off to the point where they only want to see us captured and potentially killed. Surely they're not thinking straight, and we need to give them a chance to do so.
But what if...
Nima began. But then the rhino women struck. This time, the sound of snapping wood and bark was deafening. And I watched in horror as the cracks on the tree began to splinter and spiderweb. Yeah, we were definitely going down this time. Suddenly, a bunch of the branches around us snapped and broke away from the tree trunk, and with them went the remaining chunks of our wooden platform. As the ground fell out from under us, my crew made their moves. Jonas, Mira, Honora, and Nima all dashed over to Tyrion, flung themselves onto his back, and then held on for dear life as the dragon took to the skies. Meanwhile, Lazan and Nadir were all smiles as they flipped over the side of the platform with an excited chitter.
And Kandara flung herself off the collapsing treehouse. That just left George, the twins, and me.
Hold on tight,
my water dragon demanded. I obliged by digging my hand so hard into his neck that I swore I could feel the texture of the skin underneath his scales. Zarya's hands wrapped around my waist in a death grip, and I assumed her sister had her arms around Zarya as well. Then George took a running jump off the side of the platform. My heart leapt up into my throat as we dangled in the sky for a split second, and then gravity took over. The twins and I all let out screams of terror as we plummeted straight down with nothing between the ground and us but a few hundred feet of air. But I wasn't able to even dwell on my panic for long, because I suddenly heard something swish past the left side of my skull with a thwip.
Arrows!
I growled at the twins. Make yourself small! All three of us leaned down so we were flat against George's back, and then listened helplessly as a chorus of flying arrows swished past our position. Every few seconds I would venture a glance at the ground below, but as we drew closer and closer I began to feel a sense of dread. What if this didn't work? We were falling incredibly fast, much faster than I'd anticipated. Sure, our scales were thick and George's armored body would take the brunt of the damage, but there was no way this wasn't going to still hurt like a bitch. However, it was too late to go back now. We were in a free fall with arrows rocketing past us every few seconds, and we didn't really have a chance to do anything but hold on for dear life and hope things worked out.
Hold tight, my friends,
George warned.
The ground is...
Before he could finish his sentence, George's thick legs slammed against the dirt of the savannah, and a shockwave reverberated through my entire body. The twins and I were all thrown from the water dragon's back, and we cried out in agony as we hit the ground, rolled across it like rag dolls, and then finally came to a stop about 50 feet away. My whole body felt like I'd been hit by a freight train. Muscles I didn't even know I had ached, and I knew that if I looked into a mirror right now, there would be bruises everywhere. My knees and arms wobbled underneath the weight of my body as I slowly forced myself back onto my feet. But I was alive. Even though I felt like shit, I was still in one piece. And after a quick look around, apparently, so were all of my friends. George stumbled about the grassy savannah like a drunken sailor, while the Dragonkin twins both swayed back and forth and leaned against each other for balance.
It worked,
I proclaimed with only a hint of enthusiasm.
Unfortunately, we weren't able to celebrate our minor victory at all.
I heard the sound of rumbling, charging footfalls behind me, and I turned around to face 4 of the 10 rhino women charging straight toward us atop their oversized ants. The 2 warriors on the outside of the charge had their short bows at the ready, while the 2 on the interior carried weapons with a short hilt, but with a regular-sized metal spearhead on its end. The interior women twirled their blades, and they approached with a killer gleam in their eyes. The ants weren't any friendlier either. The oversized buggers screeched and gurgled as they foamed at the mouth, and their razor-sharp mandibles twitched in anticipation as they ran. So, even though I felt like I was half dead, I drew my sword and held it at the ready. The 2 women at the ends of the charge raised their bows, pulled back their arrows, and then unleashed them directly toward me. Thankfully, George had my back. A blast of water erupted out from the blue water dragon's mouth, and the arrows were knocked away harmlessly.
Keep that up, George, I commanded my bondmate, as the Dragonkin twins approached my side.
We need to try and get them off their mounts if we want to stand any chance of winning this fight.
It's as good as done,
Zarya said with a twirl of her spear.
Ready, sister? I've been ready for years,
Darya chuckled.
We've just never had the opportunity to fight a mounted enemy.
Behind us, I could hear the sounds of battle. Swords and spears clanked against each other while arrows swished and wings fluttered. My friends were engaged with the remaining 6 rhino women, but I didn't dare turn around to observe. That split second when my eyes were averted could be all it took to finally bring down the Draco Rex. Without warning, the 2 riders with the bows split off from their line, and their ants lurched away to the right and charged right at George, while the rhino women raised their weapons.
Get out of there, George!
I called out to my water dragon. They're coming for you.
Let them try,
the blue-scaled dragon growled.
Maybe they'll actually be more of a challenge than the orcs.
Now there were only two riders left, and three of us. Still, they had the tactical advantage. Thanks to their galloping ants, these warriors could strike swiftly, get out of attack range, and then charge again before we even knew what hit us. We had to separate the riders from the ridees. Zarya had the right idea. The golden-scaled dragonkin woman flipped her spear around so the blunt end was facing away from her, and then held it like a javelin.
Divide and conquer?
She asked her sister, who only responded with a nod.
The one on the right,
Darya noted, as she flipped her spear the same way. Then Zarya hauled back and launched her non-lethal weapon at the charging rhino women. The gray-skinned woman atop the ant easily knocked Zarya's projectile away with her own weapon. But Darya's spear came immediately after, and the rhino woman had no time to respond. The blunt spear struck her square in the chest, and her dark eyes went wide as she was tossed from atop her beast. The dragonkin twins high-fived each other and let out a happy giggle before they ran over to find their fallen spears. Now, it was just me and one horned woman, Mono a Womano. As she drew closer, I was able to make out some of the features on my attacker. Her black hair was pulled upward into three small buns, and each one was just a few inches shorter than her actual horns. Her body was covered with lines of white tribal markings down each arm and leg, and the horn on her forehead appeared much duller and shorter than the rest of our attackers. My attacker was only a few feet away from me now, so I had to think fast. The rhino woman let out a battle cry as she and her aunt attacked, but I was quick to roll off to the right and avoid their charge, and I spun back around just in time to see them come around for another pass. This time, I was not quick enough. I tried to leap out of the way, but the woman's spear was already headed straight for my skull. I blocked the attack with my sea-glass sword, but I could do nothing but growl with frustration as the ant snapped its mandibles around my waist. The foul beast's pinchers squeezed me like a tube of toothpaste as it lifted me up into the air and continued to dash forward. I thought about how easy it would be right now to decapitate the bastard. All I had to do was twirl my sword around, aim for the neck, and then lop the bug's head off with one fell swoop. But that would definitely send the wrong message to these rhino women, and the last thing I wanted to do was piss them off. The dark-haired woman before me chuffed as she took another swing with her spear sword, but I parried the blow easily and punched the woman square in the chest. That was a huge mistake. Instantly, a wave of pain shot through my hand as if I'd just broken every bone inside of it. I guess I shouldn't have been surprised. Rhinos had very thick hides, and it looked like these women were no different.
You're gonna need much more than that to bring down Rikuri, I'm afraid.
The rhino woman cackled. The pinchers around my waist were growing tighter and tighter, but I couldn't take my attention off Rikuri's blade. She came at me a few more times with the grace of one of those sword dancers, and I was only barely able to deflect her increasingly intricate attacks. Rikuri scowled, probably because I wasn't going down as easily as she had hoped. Then she let out a shrill whistle, and her animal took over. The ant raised its head and violently jerked it forward. It then proceeded to slam me into the ground repeatedly, all without halting its stride. My already achy body now felt like it was on fire. The ground below me must have been grassy, but the topsoil was hard as rock, and each slam was the equivalent of being punched by Mike Tyson. My vision began to tunnel as the ant kept up his motions. I had to do something, and quickly. So, in a move of desperation, I began to slam the hilt of my sword into the ant's head without rhyme or reason. It responded with a squeal of pain, which only made me increase the number of my blows. Finally, the hilt of my weapon struck the creature's right eye, and he released his grip on my body as he gurgled and hissed. As I fell to the ground and tumbled across, I saw exactly what I wanted to see. The ant reared back like a scared horse, and the rhino woman on top of him flew off. She hit the ground so hard that her spear was knocked out from her hands before she rolled across the savannah. Now was my chance. Even though my body was on fire, I charged at the rolling rhino woman with my sword in my hand. I leapt upon her just as her momentum was slowing up, and her fist slammed right into my stomach. I heard a wet, hard crack inside my chest as I was thrown off Rikuri, and I must have gone up 3 feet into the air as the wind was completely knocked out of my lungs. Then I hit the ground, accompanied by a white-hot jolt of pain. Holy shit! This woman hit just as hard as any of the orcs I'd fought so far. Still, I didn't have time for pain. I sprang back to my feet and readied my sword, just as the rhino woman did the same.
You're putting up more of a fight than I thought,
Rikuri taunted.
Usually I don't even have to get involved in a one-on-one battle, because Mirakai takes care of my enemies before I get a chance to have my fun.
Fun, huh? I retorted, and tapped my own forehead. Is that how that happened? Rikuri's eyes narrowed, and I noticed her pursed lips twitched momentarily. She tried to remain stoic, though I saw pure murder in her eyes. I suspected I'd found this strong woman's one weakness. She didn't like comments about her broken horn. Without another word, Rikuri swung at my legs, but I hopped over her attack, lashed out with the hilt of my blade, and slammed it into her face. The rhino woman grunted as the blow knocked her a few steps back, but then she responded with another swift strike from her spear sword. I blocked the attack with my sea glass blade, and then Rikuri went into complete psycho mode. It took everything I had to knock away her spear strikes, as they came at me in what seemed like 2 second intervals. Still, I persisted, and none of her blows landed.
How are you doing this?
Tell me the story of your horn, and I'll let you in on the secret, I winked. Rikuri's face turned beet red, and she let out a roar as she somehow increased her pace. That's it. Get nice and mad. That's when mistakes were made. I continued to knock away Rikuri's blows, though she countered so quickly that I didn't have a chance to get in an attack edgewise.
Why won't you die?
She demanded with a huff. I don't think you'd get the point. Suddenly, Rikuri halted her spear strikes and backhanded me across the face. Hard. I went to the ground as a small bit of blood dribbled out from my mouth onto the brown grass below. The world began to spin, but I wasn't about to give up yet. As much as it didn't feel like it, I had Rikuri right where I wanted her. The rhino woman unleashed another battle cry as she brought her spear down toward my head. I threw up my hands and caught the shaft of her spear just before it skewered my brain, and we proceeded to push back against each other in a reverse tug of war. Now was my chance. In one swift move, I pulled away my sword and rolled off to the side, and the sudden move must have caught Rikuri off guard, because she let out a gasp as she stumbled forward. I flipped around, slammed the haft of my blade into the back of her left leg, and brought her down onto her knee. Before she could respond, I hopped up, jumped onto her back, and laid the sharp end of my sword against her throat.
So, this is how it ends?
The black-haired woman sighed.
Fine. At least I will die nobly in battle to a worthy opponent.
Stop this, Rikuri. If I wanted to kill you, then I would have done it already. We're not your enemy, so if you would just stop...
Rikuri!
I heard one of the rhino women gasp from behind me.
The Draco Rex is defeated, Rikuri!
Suddenly, the sounds of battle came to a crashing halt, and I glanced over my shoulder to see the rest of the rhino women were approaching atop their ants. Oh, shit. With the way these bruisers fought, there was no way I could fight off 9 more of them at once. Do you surrender? I asked Rikuri. Please, please say you surrendered.
Just kill me and get it over with. I will never surrender.
Fuck. This really put me between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, these women were probably going to kill me either way. They would either call my bluff about killing Rikuri and then slay me where I stood, or they would pump me full of arrows the second I let her go. Still, I knew what kind of a person I was. I had no intention of killing Rikuri, so maybe one final appeal to mercy would be what saved my skin. I moved my blade away from the rhino woman's neck, took a step back, and sheathed my sword as the others approached.
Ben!
I heard Mira call out from across the battlefield.
What are you doing?
Like I said, I reminded the rhino women as I turned to face the incoming charge. We are not here to kill you. Do with me what you will, but I'm not a fucking murderer.
I can see that.
The white-haired rhino woman, who I had assumed was the leader, noted. Now that I was facing the rest of the tribe, I noticed they all had their weapons down at their sides, and their expressions were more of a surprise and awe rather than anger and murder. Then I felt the cold tip of Rikuri's spear at the back of my neck.
Should I kill him?
The warrior demanded, but the white-haired rhino woman just raised up her hand. Then I heard the only word that could have brought me comfort at this point in time.
No.
The leader shook her head.
He had a chance to kill you, but he didn't. They all had chances to kill us, yet we have escaped this battle unscathed. Let him go, Rikuri.
But...
The raven-haired woman started to protest, but her leader cut her off.
Let him go.
The head rhino woman demanded. I felt the spear disappear from my flesh and let out the biggest sigh of relief I had ever had. Thank you. Let's try this again. My name is Ben, and you can call me Draco Rex. This is my crew, and we are in dire need of help. Can you help us? The white-haired rhino woman turned her head to the side and stared at me for a brief moment. Then she threw her head back and let out a hearty laugh.
You are the first person to ever defeat Rikuri in battle, a man who shows up on our island bearing one of its most valuable resources and hiding out in a sacred tree. And now you ask for our help?
So, is that a no?
We need to talk, Draco Rex,
the white-haired woman explained.
You and your friends can return with us to our village, and then we'll see if we wish to assist you or not.
Well, at least it wasn't a straight-up no,